Very good, good, good singing this morning. Amen. So glad you're here. Brother Jason's going to come read scripture for us.
All right, let's turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Thought I was going to say Joshua or Judges, right? Luke chapter 4. Throwing me a curveball this morning. Man, I'm so excited about, you know, I was thinking this week as those two got saved in daycare, if God's not here, they don't get saved. So the fact that God is here and working in this place, man, excites me. That and I believe there are more to come, And, man, just so excited about that. Also, I was going to put this in. Occasionally we'll put messages out. Actually, most all the messages are on our website. And we put one out there this week of one of Dad's from, I think it was 2003, maybe? Anyway, but it's called The Marriage Altar. Man, if you get a chance to listen to that, I listened to it earlier this week. And, man, what a great... He had a way of preaching on the home that no one else I've ever heard could master. And it was a spiritual way. But man, just the it's called The Marriage Altar, but it's so good for the home, for young people, for families, all of that, for everyone. So if you get a chance, check that one out on the website. All right, Luke chapter 4, we'll read verses 1 through 4. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said to him, "If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread." And Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord. I often, Lord, think of this passage, Lord, when, Lord, I'm sick or I'm weak, or haven't, Lord, something may have happened, whatever it may be, or coming, getting over something. And think about the Lord Jesus Christ and being tempted in the weak state physically, Lord God, that he was in. And it so just makes it so much more miraculous, Lord, the way that you live down here on earth, the perfect life. And Lord God, I so thank you, Lord, for your testimony, Lord. Obviously, Lord, you were Christ, you were perfect, Lord, and we strive to be like Christ as much as we can. But Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for the words that you've given us and left behind that we can learn, Lord, from your life. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for this place. God, we're so excited to be in your house. Thank you so much for the souls saved, Lord. Lord, as the Bible says, come as a little child. And Lord God, so oftentimes little children seem to think a whole lot smarter than we do. And God, I just pray that, Lord, is anyone here that has not accepted Christ as their personal Savior, today would be their day. And Lord, understand the reality is if they're not saved, they go to hell. And Lord, those that are not saved here, if they're not saved, will drop into eternal destiny of hell. Lord God, no one here wants that for anybody here. And God, I pray, Lord, today be their day of salvation. Lord, I pray that you be with the message this morning. Lord, excited to hear it. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Good. Thank you, Brother Jason. And as always, man, thanks for the music this morning. Man, appreciate the choir. And then these young men did a great job on the special. And then Mrs. Hayes and Mrs. Metz with the offertories. Man, it's always great in the congregational singing. To get up and preach when the people already are thinking about the Lord through the music. So thank you for that this morning. And in Luke chapter 4, and if you know your New Testament, and we haven't been in the New Testament for a while, then you know this passage here comes after, of course, the story in Luke 1 and 2 of the birth of Christ. And then in Luke 2, Jesus, the one story we have when he's 12 years old. And then really he gets to 30 years old and we come into chapter 4 after Jesus has been baptized and is now ready for the earthly ministry that he'll have on the earth for 3.5 years. And so the passage we just read to you mentions the last verse that we read is not the exact verse, but parallel verse to our verse for this year and our theme for this year, which is living by the Word of God. And I want to try to give you something practical today, all right, to help you. I say, man, how do we live for the Lord? What do we do? And try to give you something this morning to help you. We've experienced, man, every time, you know, over the last couple of years, every time you think COVID's in the rearview mirror, right, something happens again, and I was reading our missionary letters that we get in, and we have the Simpson family that is their missionaries, Brother Andrew and Miss Lisa are missionaries to Taiwan. And one of their last letters, they were talking about this because you think, you know, with COVID, how can you, you know, from the beginning, how do you not get COVID, present yourself, or keep yourself from getting COVID? And really what we found out, there is one way, and that's to isolate yourself and never go out and nobody ever come in and go live on a deserted island or whatever and get away from everybody. And it's interesting because in Taiwan, that's sort of what they did. They're not a deserted island. But what Taiwan did is basically before any of us did, they shut down everything coming in. And so really for all of 2020, 2021, and then even into the early part of this year, I don't want to misstate this, but I believe Taiwan is roughly 25 million people. It's a lot of people in that small area. But they were in the hundreds and maybe thousands of cases. I didn't say hundreds of thousands. I said hundreds or thousands, somewhere in there, all right? Hardly any cases at all. And that basically, they just stayed on the island. Nobody could leave, or nobody, if they did come in, then they had to isolate for a long period of time and to make sure that they were. Of course, you know what's happened over the last several months, right? Finally, COVID got in, and now they're up in the millions of cases. And they've seen it. And so what we found out is, even though if they had, you know, you isolate for the rest of the time, and then maybe you could not get COVID. What we found out for our part here is what? That you're going to be affected by it eventually, more than likely. But I want to give you talk about something today that is more sure that you'll be affected by this than even COVID. Imagine that. More dangerous than COVID. And something that you are going to face this week. Something you're going to face this week, every person in here. This week, in fact, you're probably face it today. And that's temptation. Everyone. So this is something practical. This you're going to face temptation. The Bible gives us this passage here where we know if Jesus Christ faced temptation, then we certainly are going to face temptation. And what we do have, unlike the COVID vaccine, we do have something that works, all right? We do have something that God has given us when it comes to temptation, and that is to live by God's word. And to take the God's word that we have and to fight the temptation that comes in our lives. And I want to give you some things this morning from this story here of Jesus and what he does as an example for us. Isn't it amazing to think this? I'll be honest with you, it would be hard for me to believe it if it wasn't in the Word of God. But God's Word says that Jesus was tempted in all parts, all points, like as we are. That means there's nothing that we can get tempted with that Jesus was not tempted himself with as well. Of course, the last three words of that verse are what? Yet without sin. The difference between Jesus and us is Jesus, in the temptation that he came under, never sinned. And yet the temptation is there for us. All of us, this will be tempted to do something that is wrong. Probably today, I was trying to think this morning, what am I going to be tempted with? Already I've thought about is eating lunch, right? Am I going to eat too much? Or that temptation's already going to be there, right? Am I going to say, all right, that's enough, and push away from the table? I'll be tempted to eat a little bit more. But there's going to be something probably a little more serious than that I won't be tempted with this week, that I'll be tempted with today. And the Bible gives us a solution, so I want to give you something practical for you this week. How living by God's word can help you when it comes to temptation. So let's look at what Jesus did. Look at verse number 3. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Jesus, of course, we know, was, the Bible tells us in verse number 2, that he was hungry. Jesus was man hard for us to understand. He's all God and all man. He was God, but he was also man. And so as man, he was hungry. And so he had the same hunger that we would deal with. Jesus had that. And so as he's hungry, the devil tempts him and says, I want you to take these stones and make bread out of these stones. Obviously, the idea, that bread that you could eat, that bread for you to satisfy your hunger. Is there anything wrong with us eating bread? No, there's nothing wrong. Is there anything wrong with us satisfying our hunger? There's nothing wrong with that. But this is a temptation of Satan to take those stones and make them bread. By the way, was Jesus capable of doing that? Well, it won't be long before he turns the water into what? Wine, right? It won't be long before he takes 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feeds thousands of people with them. So is this something he was capable of doing? Sure he was. If for us, obviously this wouldn't be a temptation. Take those stones and make them bread. We can't do that, but God, but Jesus was capable of doing that, something he could do. And so he's tempted to do that. Let me give you the first thing. Living by God's word will bring you godly discipline. If you will live by the word of God, it will bring you godly discipline. I mean, discipline, not just self-discipline. That's great to have. I can push away from the table and have self-discipline. But more important than self-discipline is godly discipline, to have the discipline that comes from the Holy Spirit, that comes from God himself, that comes from the word of God, to keep me from following what I want to do and instead following what God's word says. You know what we do when we give in to this kind of temptation like Jesus had here? Take those stones and make them bread. We feed our flesh instead of following God's will. You're going to have an opportunity this week to feed your flesh or follow what God says. Hey, you're going to go somewhere and you're going to have an opportunity. Maybe that's something that comes across the television screen. Maybe it's something on your phone. Maybe it's something, an opportunity to spend money on this. And you have an opportunity. Am I going to feed my flesh and do what I want to? Or am I going to follow God's will? You have opportunity with your children. You have opportunity with your wife. Am I going to, or your husband? Am I going to say something to them? Am I going to make a comment to them? Am I going to be critical? Am I going to gossip? There's so many. Here's what we all face. I want to do this, but is what I want to do right? Is what I want to do God's will? And so when we have godly discipline, we don't feed our flesh, we follow God's will. You know, so many things this week that we can spend our money on, that we can spend our time on, that we can spend our energy on. And not all those things that we think of, hey, are those things wicked and ungodly in the fact that the things that we're actually doing? Is there anything wicked and ungodly about Jesus eating bread? Nothing wrong with that. Will there have been anything wicked and ungodly? So that, well, I want to do this, and there's nothing, I don't see anything wrong with that. But is it what God wants us to do? Hey, are we following what God's word says to do? Do we have godly discipline? Or are we just fulfilling our own desires? Go to Romans chapter 8. Hold your place. You'll be back in Luke. Go to Romans chapter 8. Feeding your flesh instead of following God's will. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse number 4. Romans chapter 8. Verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you're saved this morning, you should walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. If we're following our flesh, what we're going to do, we mind or we think about or we put our energy and time into the things of the flesh. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let me tell you something. This is talking to Christians. It's not talking to unsaved people. It's talking to Christians who are carnally minded, who spend their life in pursuit of things that they want that are more important than what God would have them to do. And listen, we talk about a time with our young people, and I would say to all our young people this morning, hey, you do what God wants over what you want. Hey, I want to do this in my life. Well, that's not what's important. What's important is what does God want you to do with your life? And that's important for them, right? I mean, listen, they're going to give testimonies here next week, and I think some of them give testimony to this. They went forward and said, Lord, it's yours. My life's yours. Surrender. But how about us?
Yeah, we want them to do it. How about you this week? When temptation comes and you can do what you want tonight, or you can be in the house of God tonight. Or you can get in your car and you can listen to the world's music that you want to listen to. Or you can listen to psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that God's Word says to. Right? Or you can take your money that God has given you, that God has blessed you with, that you wouldn't have anything. The Bible says in Job, we came in this world with nothing. And you can take your money and you can give back to God, or you can use it for yourself. Well, these young people, man, they need to put God first. Yeah, but how about us? Hey, how about us in our lives? Are we feeding the flesh instead of following God's will? Be carnally minded. They're talking about Christians here, verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity. That means an enemy. That means against God. For it's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. Listen this morning. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Tell you something this week. You do something in the flesh, you cannot please God. And there's going to be temptation. I'm just telling you. I don't care how spiritual you are. You're going to face a temptation this week. Hey, I go somewhere with my wife. Am I going to do what I want to or what she wants to? Hey, am I going to my children? Am I going to sacrifice them? Or I'm going to put me first? Hey, you're going to face that this week. On the job, you're going to face that this week. Man, I've been covering for this guy long enough. I'm going to do what... You're going to face temptation this week. You're going to face something that says, hey, put your will, the flesh, above what God wants. And here's what that temptation is. We're tempted to do it our way. This week, you're going to be tempted to do something your way. Jesus was capable of doing this. He could have done it his way. He could have done it his way. Hey, I'm going to do my will. I'm going to do my way. No. But that's not the way God had set up for him. That's not the way. Hey, God was going to take care of him. He wasn't going to go without bread. But that's not the way God wanted him to get bread. Hey, God was going to feed him. What would Jesus say later on, right? In the book of John, he says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Hey, there was sustenance that he could get beyond the physical bread. He understood he lived by God's word. That was more important than those things. You're going to be tempted to do it your way. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart. What did he purpose? He purposed that he would what? He would not defile himself with the king's meat. You know what Daniel said? Daniel said, I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to purpose in my heart. I'm not going to satisfy my flesh with those things. Do you think Daniel didn't want that food? You think Daniel didn't want to enjoy what everybody else was enjoying, but Daniel said, no, I don't want to put what I want above God's will. Was there anything wrong when we talk about the king's meat? Now, there may have been because of, obviously, that would have been used for and all those type of things, and the people of Israel were not supposed to eat it, so we understand that. But just eating in general, was anything wrong with eating? No, not anything wrong with eating, but eating those things that went against what God had told them to do, that was wrong. And so Daniel disciplined himself. He purposed in his heart, hey, this week, make a decision when that temptation, because it's coming, I'm saying it's coming, that temptation to do what yourself wants, what your flesh wants over God's will. Say, God, I'm going to remember this verse, man should not live by bread alone. I won't want to put my will above your will. Living by God's word will bring you godly discipline. Secondly, go back to Luke chapter 4. Here's another temptation that you may face and will face this week, I would say. Look at Luke chapter 4 and verse number 5. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. Once again, in all three of these instances, Jesus quotes from the book of Deuteronomy. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. With each temptation, he lived by God's word. Number one, living by God's word will bring you godly discipline. Number two, living by God's word will lead you to serve and worship God. You live by God's word, you will serve and worship God. What did Jesus tell Satan? He says, hey, the Lord God is who you're supposed to serve. The Lord God is who you're supposed to worship. Hey, this week when temptation comes, if you put the things of this world above the things of God, then you'll be given in that temptation. That second temptation is this. You put the things of the world above the things of God. Demas hath forsaken me, Paul said what? Having loved this present world, he put the things of the world above. So many Christians, I'm afraid today, put the things of the world above the things of God. And they fall to that temptation this week. Hey, those things that the world says are important. Those things that the world emphasizes. You say, well, I just want to worship God. Let me tell you, you cannot serve. As we think about trying to serve God, understand this. Whatever you worship is what you will serve. Whatever you worship, you're going to serve. And so, as we think about what we're going to do this week, when the opportunity comes, when we worship something, we're going to serve. We worship different things that come up in our world around us, and we're going to serve those things. Of course, what's the Bible tell us? No man can what?
No man can serve two masters. So if I can't serve two masters... The Bible says you can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and the things of the world. You can't do both. So many Christians want to serve God a little bit, and they want to serve the world a little bit. Hey, on Sundays, I'll come and serve God. On the rest of the week, I'll go and serve the world. I'll do what the world wants. And I'm so worried about the world thinks about me, right? That's why I have to look a certain way, act a certain way, or live a certain way, because I can't live exactly by the word of God. Because if I did that, the world would think I'm weird, and there'd be something I'm out there. They'd think, man, there's something wrong with them. But we want to serve God when we want to, and serve the world. You can't serve both. You can't. And so it stands to reason, if I can't serve God and mammon, then I can't also what? Worship God and something else at the same time. That's what it says in verse 8. Was the rest of part of the verse 8? And him what? And him only shalt thou serve. You know, the only way that I will serve Christ only is if I'm worshiping him only. That's it. Because whoever I worship, I'm going to serve.
If we're not careful, even as Christians, we can worship things around us.
And a lot of times, sometimes things that aren't necessarily bad, again. But hey, we can worship those things and put them and make them more important than God. And you know, the Bible tells us, we have this story of Eli. What did Eli do? The Bible says he honored his children above God. You know, it's possible to worship your children and put them above God. I've seen families, I've seen parents who will compromise what God's word says for their children. Oh, I love my children so much, I don't want to hold... Hey, let me tell you something. If I love my children like I'm supposed to, then I'm going to hold them accountable and responsible to God's word. That's what I'm going to do. Hey, you know what the world thinks spanking your children is crazy.
Hey, you know why I spank my children?
Because God's word says to do it. That's why. Oh, you just love... No, I don't love doing it. I don't enjoy it at all. I don't think they like it a whole lot either. But you know what? That's what God's word says to do. So I'm not going to go to the world to find out how to rear my children. I'm going to the word of God. And so since I try to worship and serve God, I want to do it. Hey, be careful about putting, somebody can put you can put your wife or your husband or your family or your job and your career, and you can put those things above God. Oh, my. You know, boy, somebody come, and yeah, man, too sick to make it to church. I barely made it to work. Hold on, man. How about, man, I'm too sick to make it to work. I barely made it to church. Now, listen, if you got COVID, stay home, all right? Don't come out here and don't spread that around. I don't need it, all right?
But what I'm saying is this.
I could barely get... How about saying, God, what you want?
What you want is more important than the things of the world. Satan tempted Jesus in the first instance to do it his own way. In this instance, Satan tempts him to take the easy way. Satan says, hey, listen, I'm going to give you all these things, and you can, all you have to do is worship me, and all these things will be yours. And the Bible tells in several other passages that Satan is the prince of this world. There's a certain power that God has given to Satan. And basically what Satan's telling Jesus is this, says, hey, you can skip all that other stuff that God's got planned for you, and you can have all this attention now. You think, I know, I've read this passage, you're like, was that a real temptation for Jesus? What does Jesus say before he heads to the cross? He asked God the Father to what? Take this cup from me. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I don't want to go through this. I want to go through this. But then what does it say? But if thou wilt. I don't want to go through it. But if you want me to, then I'll do it. I think it's a real temptation here for Jesus. Say, boy, I don't want to go through all that. I know I go through the cup that God has for me. One day I'll be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and every knee shall bow, and that's going to happen. As we honor Christ and what he's done for us. But boy, Jesus said, I don't want to go through that. If I don't have to, if there's another way, I don't want to have to go through that. But
he said, Lord, I'll do what you want me to. And he put the things of God above the things of this world. He was tempted to take the easy way. Go to Luke chapter 10. Go to Luke chapter 10. Hey, you're fighting temptation this week. Live by God's word. It'll bring you godly discipline and help you discipline your flesh. Instead of following the flesh, you follow and feeding that flesh, you follow God's will. Secondly, living by God's word will lead you to serve and worship God, to put the things of God above the things of this world. Luke chapter 10, unless you know the story at the end of the chapter in verse number 38, came to pass as they went that Jesus, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. You know what Martha's problem was? She wasn't serving God. She wasn't serving God. So, well, what do you mean? She was getting stuff ready for him, preparing and doing. No, but she wasn't serving God. Hey, I don't know, the Bible doesn't give us her motives here, whether she was doing it to make herself feel better, for those around her to see that she was doing something. Hey, she's really doing something, she's serving. I don't know, or just because she looked around and Mary wasn't, I don't know. But there was some motivation that Martha had for doing what she was doing, but she wasn't serving God. So how do you know she wasn't serving God?
Because of what Jesus says, verse 41, Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. You know what Mary had chosen? Mary had chosen to worship God. And when you worship God, that's who you're going to serve. Hey, Mary had done what was needful. Worshiping God, which is what leads us to serve God.
If you're serving, trying to serve God without first worshiping God, then you're going to be doing exactly what Martha was. Wasting your time. Hey, a service for God has to start with a worship for God. It has to start, as Jesus said here, I'm going to put what God wants, and the things of God,
those are more important to me than the things I can gain from this world. Living by God's word will lead you to serve and worship God. Then lastly, go back to Luke chapter 4, verse 12. Hey, you're going to face some temptation this week.
You're going to face an opportunity to feed your flesh or to follow God's will. You're going to face an opportunity this week to serve and worship God or to serve and worship this world and the things of this world. You're going to face that. That's going to come this week. It's going to come. And then third thing, look at verse number 12.
Well, let's leave the verses reading up to us. So let's go back to verse 9. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. In their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And of course, you know, the devil quotes scripture to Jesus, as he always does. He leaves a little bit out. He twists it from the book of Psalms and leaves out part of it. Verse 12, and Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Number one, living by God's word will bring you godly discipline. Number two, living by God's word will lead you to serve and worship God. And then number three, living by God's word will increase your faith in God. If you will live by God's word, you say, boy, I wish my faith would increase. How about starting to live by what he says? You notice what Satan wants him to do? He says, you jump off of this pinnacle and prove God's word. Satan always wants us to prove God's word. You ever had to talk to somebody and say, well, why don't you prove what God said? Why don't you prove his word? Now, thankfully, God has given us many evidences that we can see. Obviously, we can look at what he's created around us, and that's great evidence of creation. Those that don't believe in creation, I say, man, look around at what God has put out there. You tell me. I saw last night, I was driving out in the evening and saw a cloud formation. Man, it's just amazing. So, man, you know, God could have just made the clouds all the same, whatever. Man, it's just amazing what God does in the sky, what we see in the animal kingdom, all that. God could have made everything the same. He didn't. And so we see God's creation there. So God has given us evidences of what he's done. We look in our own lives as he worked in our lives, and we've seen him answer prayers. Yeah, God has done those things for us. But Satan tempts by saying, hey, you prove what the Bible said is true. Temptation is going to come proving God is right instead of trusting his goodness. We'll spend too much time trying to prove. Well, God, I want you to prove. Hey, what does Satan tell him here? If you are who you say you are, then prove it.
If I have to prove it, it doesn't take what? It'll take faith. Right? By the way, there'll be a day when faith is revealed. But if God... If God showed us everything that's done and said, all right, let me prove to you, it doesn't take faith anymore. When we decide, hey, God, you don't have to prove anything to me, I'm just going to trust what you said. I'm just going to trust your word. That's going to increase our faith. Hey, what did Satan do from the beginning? Satan did this with Eve, right? And back in Genesis chapter 3. He said, hey, has God really said that? And listen, God knows that if you eat, you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. He said, hey, why don't you prove what God said, right? What he said. And that's what he wants us. Man, get so wrapped up in, well, how can you believe that? You need proof of that. No, I don't need proof of anything from God. I just need to trust what he said. And believe that what he said is true. That's what faith is. And so as you face temptation this week, hey, just prove that. No, see, I'm not going to worry about proving it. I'm just going to trust what he said. Because what happened with the first temptation? He tried to tempt Jesus and tried to tempt him to do it his own way. Then the second temptation, he tried to tempt him to take the easy way. And then in this passage, he tries to tempt him to doubt that God's way is best. That's what Satan's going to do to you.
That's what he'll do to young people. He'll tempt you and say, God's way is not best. Hey, yeah, you can go God's way if you want to, but let me tell you what's going to happen. And look what's happening to other people and the proof that's there. And you don't know for sure what's going to happen. And he's trying to tempt you and say, God's way is not best. Now, let me tell you, God's way is always best. See, how do you know that? I know that because God's word says it. Now, I can look around and some evidences of people that I've seen, and I can give you examples. But I don't care if there was no examples out there. There was nobody I knew that ever had anything good happen to them. It doesn't matter. God's way is still best. Because that's what he said. And so we have to trust that what God said is right. We don't have to go to one more passage. Go to Luke chapter 23 and we'll close. Luke 23. This will be 3.5 years later. Temptation that came from Satan to Christ. And Jesus quoted him the word of God and said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Look what happens in Luke chapter 23
at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 23, and let's start in verse number 39. And one of the malefactors, one of the two thieves, is there hung beside Christ, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, in the sound like the same thing, if thou be Christ. Remember back, Satan, hey, if you're really who you say you are. This thief on the cross says, if thou be Christ, if you are who you say you are, save thyself and us. By the way, that's what always happens. It's always selfish. It's interesting, this thief on the cross didn't just say save yourself. He said save us too, right? If you're really who you say you are, why don't you get down off that cross and take us down with you, right? Save me too. Now, he didn't want salvation from his sins. He wanted to get off the cross that he deserved. That's what he wanted. He says, hey, if you prove to us, if you're a God, that throughout the crucifixion, well, they kept saying, hey, prove to us, prove to us. Remember Pilate and then even Herod? Hey, why don't you prove who you are? They would beat him and they were mocking him and say, hey, if you're really the Christ, then do something about it. Jesus didn't have anything to prove. They say, hey, prove to us who you are. Notice the other thief, and this is where we should be. Verse number 40. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly. Look at his understanding, this thief on the cross. Hey, this thief on the cross is about to get saved. You know what you have to know in order to get saved? You have to know you're a sinner. What does he say? We indeed are justly condemned. He says, I'm a sinner before God. I'm condemned justly. Let me tell you something this morning. Every single one of us is condemned to hell justly because of our sin. Hey, he understood that on the cross. And he said, listen, you don't have to prove anything to me. I'm being condemned for what I've done. I deserve hell. Then look at what he says in just a few words. He says, for we receive what? The due reward of our deeds. This morning, if you're not saved, you are a sinner on your way to hell receiving the due reward for your deeds. And by the way, before I got saved, I was the same way. Sinner on my way to hell, receiving the due reward of my deeds. Then look at what he says. Look at an understanding of salvation for this man. But this man hath done nothing amiss. He looks at Jesus Christ and says, but that's the perfect sacrifice right there. Hey, that man has done nothing wrong. Hey, let me tell you this morning, your sin makes it clear that you deserve to go to hell, but we have a Savior who never sinned. As I mentioned earlier, he was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. So he did not sin. And so this thief on the cross recognizes, hey, there's somebody right there that is a perfect sacrifice. Not only is he a perfect sacrifice, look what he says, verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He didn't have to have any proof from God. He believed that Jesus was going to go and have his own kingdom. That means he's not going to die, all right, like we would think of it. Now, we know he died on the cross for us, but he's not going to die and stay dead. He had a belief in the resurrection of Christ beyond the cross. Not only did he have belief in that, he also said what? Remember me. Hey, Lord, I not only believe that you're going to have your own kingdom one day, I also believe that you can save me. Hey, this morning, if you're a sinner on your way to hell, I want you to understand something. You have a perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ, who can save you. And this thief on the cross, he didn't need any proof from Christ. Is there anything that Jesus did on the cross to make him think that was going to happen? No, he just believed it. Hey, you're going to face temptation this week. You're going to be tempted to do what you want. You're going to be tempted the flesh, to fulfill the flesh instead of following God's will. You'll be tempted to serve and worship the things of this world rather than serve and worship God. You're going to be tempted to doubt what God said. I tell you, if you live by God's word, you'll have godly discipline. You live by God's word, then you'll serve and worship Him. You live by God's word, you'll increase your faith. Last verse, and we're done. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Many of you know this verse, verse 13. I'm going to tell you, you can get tempted this week. But you understand something, that the Word of God is our answer to the temptation that comes our way. Verse 13, there is no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. There's no temptation that you will face that man has not faced before, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. You say, well, it's too and no. He will not suffer you to be tempted above you that you're able. But will, with the temptation, is he going to remove the temptation? No. But will, with the temptation, also make what? A way to escape that you may be able to bear.
Hey, God, you're going to tempt this week, but there is always an escape plan. You know what my problem is? Too many times I'm looking for the temptation, I'm not looking for the escape plan, right? Oh, man, that's something I really would like and I would enjoy. No, God always makes a way to escape, always. Hey, you're going to face it this week. Are you going to face it with God's Word? Father, thank you for the truth we get from the Word of God. Lord, we know this. As we try to live for God, the temptations are going to ratchet up. Lord, those things that are put in our way, as we see here, it's just amazing what Jesus had to deal with, but Satan knew this was an important time in the life of Christ. And he tried to tempt Christ to do what was wrong. Lord, there's going to be temptations this week. The more we try to live for you, there's going to be more temptations. Lord, I pray that we would not try to face that temptation. You told us, Lord, to put on the whole armor of God. We're facing an ungodly world. We're facing the devil. We're facing our flesh that cannot please God. Lord, give us the strength to fight the temptation this week with the Word of God. I pray for each of us, Lord. I know I need help with this, to live by your Word this week. Lord, help me to determine that. I'm going to live by God's Word, to give myself that godly discipline I need to serve and worship you, to increase my faith in you. In Jesus' name. Everybody stand with head bowed and eyes closed and nobody looking around. Let me ask you this morning this. If you're here this morning, you say, I know for sure I'm going to heaven. We didn't spend a lot of time on salvation. We did talk about it. Let me tell you this morning, you have to have faith. The Bible says faith like a child. That means you will humble yourself and realize that you can't make it to heaven on your own. You can't this morning. You cannot make it to heaven without Jesus Christ. And it's not something, boy, well, hopefully over time I'll be good enough. No, the only way to get to heaven is that Jesus Christ pays for your sins completely, permanently. It's a one-time decision. Doesn't mean you'll be perfect after that. It does mean your sins are paid for. If you're here this morning, you say this, you say, I know for sure I'm saved. I'm not saved because I've been good for 3 years, or I've been to church for the last 6 months, or I've been nice to my neighbor. No, I'm saved. I'm a sinner on my way to hell, but then Jesus Christ died. I know he died on the cross for me. He paid for my sins. I'm saved because Jesus Christ has taken those sins on him. I've accepted him as my Savior. If you could say that, would you put your hand up like I'm doing, say, I know I'm saved this morning. You can put your hand right back down. If you're here this morning, you say this, you say, no, I'm not sure. I've tried to be good. I've tried to do what's right. But if you're going to pin me down and say, do you know 100% sure without a doubt that you're going to heaven? I don't know that I could say that. Hey, if you're like this morning, be honest before God. I won't embarrass you at all. But if you just do this for me, if you just slip your hand up, say, pray for me. I'm not 100% sure. Just slip your hand up, say, pray for me. I'm just not sure my salvation. Hey, let me ask you, if you're saved this morning, are you living by God's Word? Because you're going to face some things this week. You're going to need God's Word. As music plays this morning, you come forward as the Lord spoke to you.
listen, determined to live by God's word, you're going to face temptation. Man, I was preparing for this yesterday, and man, it was hitting me left and right. And I'm like, I'm already failing. Usually I at least get to preach the message before I start failing on it, you know? I mean, I'm already failing on Saturday. I haven't preached it yet. If we don't preach it, it's really going to come after me. But hey, listen, temptation's coming this week. Say, I'm going to do what God's word says and decide I'm going to follow his word. Be back tonight, 6 o'clock. Man, listen, you won't have to hear me. I preached all I had. I preached extra this morning because I don't get to preach tonight, all right? But you get to hear a lot of singing tonight and a little bit of Bible. This would be great. A lot of Bible in the singing, a little bit of Bible in the preaching. But anyway, be back tonight, 6 o'clock for that. And we'll get to, I'll tell you what, Mr. Myers, why don't you come up here and close in prayer if you would like.
Let's pray. Lord, thanks so much, Lord, for the message. Thank you for, Lord, the truth that we heard. And Lord, it's something we do face all the time. Lord, the devil wants us to, Lord, destroy our lives, destroy the light that we should be, Lord. And we just, Lord, pray that we wouldn't try to fight that in the flesh this week, Lord, and try to do that on our own, because, Lord, we're weak there. We fail all the time, Lord. And we pray that we would look to you for help and the strength that only you can give. And, Lord, help us this week to be that light that we should be, Lord. And we can only do that, Lord, if we do fight that temptation. Lord, help us to be ready for it and know your word and know what you want us to do. And Lord, just go in your strength and not our own. Lord, help us as we go throughout the day, Lord, just to... Lord, just think about that and be with those that are not feeling well. Lord, help them to feel better very soon. Be those that couldn't make it in this morning, pray they'd come back in very soon with us, and just give us safety as we go out, and help us all to be back here tonight ready to learn more. And Lord, just thank you for the choir and all the work that's been put into that. Pray that you bless them tonight. We thank you for all that you're doing. In Christ's name, amen.